Red, white, and blue tinted.
Eduardo Rodriguez will get the start this weekend on Saturday against the visiting Chicago White Sox. Hector Velasquez back in the bullpen starting tonight. Headlines brought to you by Hooters. Be the MVP.
This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
There's a 3-1. And on the ground to first, Davison will go to the bag, touch up, and there's your ball game. Chicago wins. So the White Sox take the first game of the three-game series. They beat the Yankees by the score of 6-2. In the inning, no runs, one hit, and one left. And the final, the White Sox 6, and the Yankees 2.
The Red Sox didn't play last night. Yankees did. They had a 2-0 lead over the White Sox. You can tell John Sterling utterly demoralized, depressed at the end of that defeat last night by the Yankees. 6-2 final. Chicago the winner. And the Red Sox now 6.5 up on the Yankees. More importantly, 6 in the loss column. Again, going into last night, Yankees were within 5 in the loss column. They lose. It is now 6 in the loss column. And this is why I told you last night that I was not worried about the Red Sox winning the division. Although I left this part out conveniently at the time. I thought the Yankees were too good. I thought the Red Sox were too good. There wasn't enough time on the schedule. And that the Yankees wouldn't be able to catch them. And you know what factor we left out? That the Yankees don't have the discipline to catch them. The flaw in this Yankee team all year long has been its inability to consistently beat bad competition. So they took 4 from the Orioles, whom they couldn't beat before, but now they did. Then they get home, and you know what happened? Letdown. Okay, letdown. And one of the reasons the Red Sox are where they are this year, in fact, I would go so far as to say the primary reason the Red Sox are where they are this year is because they really haven't taken any games off, at least until last week. So last week, finally, you know, 130 games into the year, they finally fell asleep at the wheel. Finally. And they got their asses kicked in Tampa Bay over the weekend by a team that was readier to play and certainly played better than the Red Sox did. But the Yankees, part of the reason the Red Sox are going to win the division, 78 truthers, part of the reason is because the Yankees aren't disciplined enough to catch them. Don't ignore that part of the equation either. 617-779-0985 here on Trivia Tuesday. We'll do trivia later in the show. Running out of time here to add people to that drawing for the 2 tickets to the trip to New York. That is coming up. We'll do that later in the show. But I do want to start with a couple things. One is, do the Yankees really fear you? I mean, if you're one of these people that feels the Red Sox are going to blow the division, then the Yankees must scare you. After last night, I don't know how they could. Because, listen, I've told you all year long, I think the Yankees have more talent than the Red Sox. Now I look at it and I say they just don't have the discipline. They have some injuries, but I picked the Yankees to win the division at the beginning of the year. What I did not factor in was the Aaron Boone factor and the fact that this Yankees team feels to me like it coasts a lot of the time. Now, just so we're clear, I'm not making any predictions on October. I'm not telling you that the Red Sox will beat the Yankees in October or the other way around. Because that one, to me, I need to see what it looks like when the Yankees are actually focused and interested. Because when they are, they're a good team. But the Red Sox, I will admit, are better than I gave them credit for. In the interim, the Marlins are in here for 2 games, and then the Red Sox go to Chicago for 4 against this same White Sox team. Murray, let me ask you a question. If the Red Sox go 4-2 this week, but they don't play great, how would you feel about that? In other words, what's more important to you, winning games right now or seeing them pitch and play better?
Oh, I'd feel better if they got better pitching from their starters and they just played crisper baseball. Because even in some of those wins, okay, the wins in the end of that Cleveland series, the 2 that they took in that 4-gamer, like, those look pretty good. But even, I don't know, prior to that, it hasn't been the best baseball over the last few weeks. Like, they could clean some things up here. Even if they didn't go 4-2, even if it was around 500 this week in the 6-game homestand, they go 3-3 or whatever it is. I'd rather them just play better baseball than have a winning record this week.
I mean, so the pitching's a big one, right? Like, you need to see them pitch better. Really, you do. You need to see them pitch a hell of a lot better.
You know, Eduardo Rodriguez coming back this week. It'd be nice if he looked close to what he looked like before the ankle injury. You know, I'd feel better about that, even if they ended up losing that game to the White Sox on Saturday.
And that is the news of the day. Rodriguez made his final rehab appearance last night. I think it was Double-A pitched out last night. He will pitch Saturday for the Red Sox. Hector Velasquez back in the bullpen. That can't happen too soon because he's been absolutely awful of late. And so the Red Sox may be turning a corner a little bit there. And David Price goes tomorrow. So hasn't been often in the last couple of years that we have looked forward to a David Price start. And I say that from a pure baseball perspective, that he could provide some relief and assistance. But that's a big step in the right direction, too.
But just real quick, with what you opened up with, even if the Red Sox had a bad week, right, to these two terrible teams, the Marlins and the White Sox, if you paid any attention to last night's game, the Yankee game against the White Sox, I don't know how that doesn't ease your fears a little bit, because they're, like you said, they're sloppy, they're undisciplined, they can't get out of their own way. I don't care what kind of run that they've been on the last couple of weeks to make it a little bit tighter, and with the Red Sox getting swept by the Rays. That team just feels like they can't get out of their own way, giving up runs with bad defense, undisciplined hitting. Stanton looks lost right now. And how many times does that guy just look at the first pitch? It looks like the best pitch he's gonna get, and you look up and bang, he's struck out again. So he looks like he's in a bad way. I don't trust the manager. Frazier was it in left field last night. He makes a spectacular catch. The next ball that comes at him, he pulls a Bill Buckner. Like, they couldn't get out of their own way. It was like the Keystone Cops out there, and it reminded me how they looked here earlier in the month when they got swept by the Red Sox. Like, they're a mess.
Yeah, they have too many lapses. They have way too many lapses, the Yankees.
A lot of talent, obviously, but they're not dialed in like they were last year.
No. And the Red Sox have had far fewer lapses. In fact, this really is their first significant one all year long. I want to get to Dave Dombrowski in the bullpen, too, because I started thinking about this more today. And the fact that the Red Sox did not add a reliever at the trade deadline, I'm getting more and more annoyed by it every day, really. It's incredible to me that the Red Sox did not add relief pitching help at the deadline. Really, because I don't think they're going to add any this week. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't think they're adding anybody. And by the time we get to September 1st, that's it. Your talent in the organization is what will be eligible for the postseason. Anyone you add after that point cannot play in the playoffs. We'll kick it off tonight with Tony, who's in Stoneham. Tony, go ahead.
How you doing? Good to hear your voice, and glad you're back. You know who's the most valuable player on the Red Sox?
Who?
Mookie Betts, and I'm going to tell you why. He is the only one that is way above his average on the whole team. Every player on that team is playing at their average. Mookie Betts isn't. Mookie Betts is anywhere from 70 to 150 points over on on-base percentage, and he's 80 points over He's 80 points over on base percentage.
Tony, you don't think that J.D. Martinez is overachieved?
No, I do not think he overachieved at all. And based on what he's done over the last 2 years, no.
Okay.
I do not.
Hold on, Tony. Okay. When they signed him, and I haven't done the math, but he's on pace for like what, 45 and 125 or something like that? You predicted that coming into the year?
Well, I definitely thought he'd hit over 40 home runs, absolutely. And I believe he would hit for the average. Now, here's the thing, Maz. Look at it this way. Look at what Martinez has done. He's having a phenomenal year, possibly triple crown, but he hasn't helped them in these last few weeks when they've been losing.
Yeah,
in those last few weeks, Mookie Betts has dropped 18 points.
Yeah, so Tony, now you're arguing against yourself. Has Mookie Betts helped him in the last series? How many games in a row there did he go where he struck out in the first inning? How many games in a row did that happen? Look, I'm not here to dump on Mookie Betts. I'm just telling you, he's not the only guy that's overachieved. Okay, in fact, you know, to me, Martinez has been worth every penny and then some. He's been better than I thought he would be. And I had lower expectations, but I thought 30 and 100, if he finished with that, I didn't think that would be enough. He has given them the kind of middle-of-the-order presence that they needed. And so you want to start playing games with it. I'll tell you what, here's the question you should ask. Does Mookie Betts benefit more from J.D. Martinez or the other way around? Because to me, that one's easy. I think Mookie Betts becomes a better player when J.D. Martinez is in the lineup. I'm not even sure that one's all that close. J.D. Martinez has made them all better. Neil's in Braintree. Go ahead, Neil.
Yeah, hi. So I think an important start is E-Rod's, because if you remember last year when he came back, he was horrible. And if Nathan Eovaldi and E-Rod have like the same production over September, even if E-Rod's like slightly better, I think they're going to send him to the bullpen. Because he pitched 80 pitches in four innings last night, and I think they'd rather have the southpaw in the eighth inning than a right-hander.
You think they're going to send Rodriguez to the bullpen?
If Eovaldi is as good as Rodriguez in this last month, because Rodriguez takes a while to get back.
What if Eovaldi isn't?
Then you put in a tough spot because everybody in the bullpen is right-handed.
Yeah, so, Neil, I'll tell you what, don't focus on the left-right so much right now. Ideally, you'd want a power lefty in that bullpen. I'm not sure you're going to get one. Ideally, sure. Yes, ideally. But you know what, honestly? I'll take a righty who throws strikes consistently and can get people out. And you know what? Like, I hear what you're saying if Eovaldi and Eduardo Rodriguez are even, but this sort of brings me to the bullpen and to Dave Dombrowski. Let's be honest. Okay, take the uniform out of it. How many of you had even heard of Nathan Eovaldi before the Red Sox got him? How many of you knew if he was any good before you saw him pitch the first couple of games? And now that you've seen him five or six times, what do you think of him? Because you know what I think? Ordinary. He throws hard, and his cutter, when it's on, elite. But it's not on. How does a guy who throws that hard get hit, allow a batting average of 400? You know what? When you really get down to it, Nathan Eovaldi kind of sucks. He really does. I mean, I hate to put it that bluntly, but when you really weigh it out, he's really not that good. And the idea that the Red Sox were able to sell him to people as some sort of significant acquisition at the deadline masks the fact that they didn't add bullpen help. You fell for it. If they lose because of the bullpen, I'll have a hard time blaming anybody but Dave Dombrowski. We'll touch on that when we come back.
The show the Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So Corey is in his car, and I think will lead us into the next topic. Corey, go ahead.
Hey, Tony. So I just wanted to follow up on what the last caller was saying on Nathan Eovaldi. So last 17 innings, he's given up 35 hits, which is obviously a high number. But of those hits on the like advanced stats, only four, I think one was considered hard hit, and then three were solid contact. So I think when you look at E-Rod coming back, I mean, putting him back in the starting rotation could hurt the bullpen even more because, as we've seen, and even Coors kind of alluded to throughout the season, but they don't have a lot of trust in him going past, you know, the sixth inning. So you know Eovaldi's at least going to throw strikes. So maybe that even helps the bullpen not having to go to it as much, having someone that you can trust going five, six,
okay,
seven
so
innings.
Okay, so Corey, what good are strikes if people are hitting them? And look, I'm being a wise ass here, but let me ask you a very simple question, okay? Because I'm just curious. Do you think Nathan Eovaldi's a good pitcher?
Yeah, I think he's a good pitcher.
Okay, see, I don't, and this is where I get off the bus. Like you can give me all the metrics you want about one was hard hit, three were solid contact. So what? The rest, it's bad luck. It's bad luck that he's given up 35 hits in 17 innings or whatever the number is. I can't even keep track. There have been so many. Like that, is that what it is? It's bad luck. And if it's bad luck, has he had bad luck his whole career? Because I look at Eovaldi and I say, Nathan Eovaldi's a journeyman. He's a guy with a good, he's your classic big guy with a good arm who moves from team to team because everybody thinks they can tap into it. And you know what? The Red Sox thought they could tap into it too. And I'll tell you why they acquired Eovaldi. And, and I'm guessing somewhere in the background, Brian Bannister, who's the analytics guy, is the guy that pressed the button on Nathan Eovaldi. And here's why. Because the Red Sox looked at Eovaldi's numbers and they said, boy, his cutter's really good. He doesn't throw enough cutters. You know, the metrics tell us that the opposing teams don't hit well on his cut fastball. So he came here, and you know what they did? Cutter, 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 cutter. And it worked for two starts. And then as time went on, teams started to say, huh, just lay off the cutter, especially if it's out of the strike zone. Wait for the fastball. Or if the cutter's not moving well, take a hack at it because that's what's coming. And you start prepping for it. And he's not Mariano Rivera, whose cutter was so good that you could know it was coming and not hit it anyway. So teams sit on it. So now what are you hearing the Red Sox say? Well, he still has a good fastball. You got to mix it in more because he's become too predictable. And the bottom line is, I look at Eovaldi, and here's what I see. A guy who throws hard and harder. And everything or anything that moves, moves toward the left-handed batter's box. He's got nothing that goes the other way. His delivery feels clumsy to me. He's been on five teams in 7 years, and he has a career ERA of almost 4.5 in the American League. Why does anyone think this guy's an answer? Now, look, if you catch lightning in a bottle, great, you've caught lightning in a bottle. But to sit here and say he's the answer, there's no way you can do that, at least not in my mind, especially when you have now watched him pitched here for a little bit and you've seen the inconsistencies. When this guy's bad, he sucks. And I find it even more stunning that a team like the Red Sox, and I touched on this last night, that is on a historic pace for wins, a franchise record for wins, and at one point was challenging among the greatest teams in baseball history in terms of wins in a regular season, that clearly had a need at the beginning of the year, still hasn't addressed it, got to the trade deadline, and their answer, Dave Dombrowski's answer for pitching at the deadline was Nathan Eovaldi. Think of that. How does a team that has the resources the Red Sox do, with as much at stake as they do, with the season they're having out of Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez and collectively, with the basic belief in baseball and the tried and true belief that you can never have enough pitching, how does that team, after failing in October 2 years in a row because of its pitching staff, after having an eighth inning problem, how does that team get to the trading deadline when relievers are going off the board everywhere? How does that team not add bullpen help? How is that team's answer for pitching Nathan Eovaldi? Really? So just stop. Take everything you've seen in the games out of it. Just look at it in a big picture context. How does a team with that much at stake in this kind of season get to the trading deadline and its answer for pitching is Nathan Eovaldi? You know what kind of move that is? I'll tell you what kind of move that is. Back in 2006, the Red Sox had a team that played way above its head in the early part of the year. If you remember, that was like Mark Loretta was the second baseman. They had a Marathon Day win or a Mother's Day win. I think it was Marathon Day, where Loretta hit one into the seats. They had a walk-off. All kinds of good stuff happened with that team early in the year. Theo Epstein didn't believe in it. That year, that was the famous bridge year. And you know who the Red Sox added for pitching help? Jason Johnson. This feels like that kind of move to me. Nathan Eovaldi. You have a team with this kind of chance, and your attempt to aid the pitching staff is Nathan Eovaldi? I mean, that is just gross negligence on the part of the president of baseball operations. I hope it works for him in October. I am not rooting against him. But boy, what a mistake. And I don't think they're getting help here this week. I don't. Jeff is in a car. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Tony, real quick, I wanted to agree with you that Martinez is definitely the MVP of the Red Sox. But your point that you just made about Dombrowski not getting pitching help, and you made the point that the Red Sox, with all their assets, that's an unforgivable sin. But I think you're looking at it a little bit wrong. The Red Sox have money assets, but they don't have trade chips. And during at the trade deadline, you can't go out and offer a team, hey, we want your reliever. We'll give you, you know, X dollar figure. Teams want players. And Dombrowski, as much as he wanted to, didn't have anybody to give because he's got rid of them all for crappy relievers already with broken arms and whatnot.
So, Jeff,
so you can have all the money in the world, but, I mean, if you don't have a trade chip, you can't do anything when other teams do.
So, Jeff,
you're stuck.
You raise a good point, but there were guys who moved that the prices were not exorbitant for. Jury's familiar with the Oakland A's, who's pitched well for them. The price for him was small. And you know what? The price on Zach Britton was small. And I still would take a chance on Zach Britton over Nathan Eovaldi. And by the way, in his last four games, Britton has pitched better. No walks. Okay, so Britton is starting to come around. John is in Medford. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry, it's Joe. It's Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
Yep. So just real quick on that, Yuri's Familia has the domestic violence stuff. Kelvin Herrera just hit the DL, and Zach Britton sucks. So
I didn't say anything about Kelvin Herrera. Kelvin Herrera's out. You're telling me there isn't one reliever out there that could help them?
No. That's not even why I called. I'm just saying that I just saw that notification come through today that he hit the DL. So even if we had him, who knows what his deal is. But I wanted to talk about Mookie, but real quick. Have you noticed that J.D. Martinez has more than one strikeout per game? I had called back like months and months ago about that, watching his strikeout numbers, and he strikes out more than once a game on average. I think he has 126 strikeouts in 124 games played. So I think that'll be a problem in the postseason. And about Mookie, I have to totally disagree with you because I think everything that Mookie does, I mean, you can say whatever you want about steals and defense. Mookie's a five-tool player, and if there was a way that, oh, well, they could just pitch him outside. I mean, he's hitting 336. If there was a way that somebody could pitch him outside, they haven't been able to do it. So I don't really think that they can pitch him outside has been effective because nobody's done it.
Okay, so, Joe, two things. First of all, I never said J.D. Martinez was a better player than Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is a more complete player. He is. J.D. Martinez in the lineup is way more valuable. Way more valuable. And I just think it's as simple as looking at the last 2 years. Without David Ortiz or J.D. Martinez in the lineup, Mookie Betts suffered. With those two guys in the lineup, he had terrific years. And so I just think that this is exactly what Mookie Betts is. And look, I love him. I want the Red Sox to sign him to a long-term contract. I think he's one of the most dynamic players in the game. And when I say that you pitch him away, see, people are now confusing and twisting the argument, somehow suggesting that Mookie can't hit a pitch on the outside part of the plate. He can. He just doesn't drive it the same way that he does a ball middle in, which is fine. Most guys don't. J.D. Martinez does. J.D. Martinez drives the ball out of the ballpark no matter where it's pitched. Okay, so that's the difference. And there aren't many guys like J.D. Martinez. I'm just telling you that he's worth more because of that. So will Mookie get singles to right field? Sure. Will he get the occasional home run in a small ballpark or on the right night at Fenway Park? Yep. But he has four home runs to the right side of second base this year. Four. So let's not all of a sudden turn him into Manny Ramirez. Again, he's a better all-around player than J.D. Martinez. He's a better all-around player than Manny Ramirez. Absolutely. But raw hitting power to the opposite field, he doesn't have it. Okay, he doesn't have it. Not his fault. Doesn't mean he sucks. But he doesn't have it. If I were facing him, I would pitch him away, away, away. I'd let him go 4-for-4 with four singles to right field. Fine. The other thing is, if Martinez isn't in the lineup, who's hitting in the middle? Because Betts doesn't want to do it. He wants to hit leadoff, which, again, is fine as long as you have the middle of the order bat. But do you really think he can hit third or fourth in a championship lineup? Because I don't. Maybe if he has Martinez next to him, he can. But without the help, no chance. No chance. Murray's got your headlines here. We'll get you caught up. When we come back, we'll continue with your calls, and we will prep for Trivia Tuesday.
The thing I find most amazing, baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We got Trivia Tuesday coming up here in just a minute, but hang on. And when I say just a minute, we still have a break before then. I'll give you all the instructions on Trivia Tuesday here. But just a reminder, you can listen to the Baseball Reporters podcast whenever you want. Really, so if you miss the show, no big deal. You can catch it on the podcast on our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Also on your phone with the Sports Hub app, which if you have not downloaded, really is tremendous. And you should be sure to listen to Matt McCarthy's Hardcore Baseball podcast. You can get that also whenever you want it on 98.5thesportshub.com. And again, on your phone with the Sports Hub app. So be sure to check those out. 617-779-0985. We are not taking calls yet for Trivia Tuesday. I'll let you know. I see a couple of you jumping the gun already. Get back to the phones here. And Eddie, who's in Douglas. Eddie, what do you got, pal?
Hey, what's up? In honor of Trivia Tuesday, I love a question.
Eddie, I got to put you on. I got to put you on hold because your connection absolutely blows. But it says some. His comment line says on the AL batting race. Murray, do you care about the batting race?
Not a lick.
I mean, I'll tell you, this is the only reason I care about the batting race. Because if J.D. Martinez could win the Triple Crown and Mookie Betts beats him out in the batting average, I think that would really suck. I'd rather see J.D. Martinez win the Triple Crown than Mookie Betts thing. I know it comes off that way because I tell you all the time that I think you can mitigate the damage that a guy like Mookie Betts does to you when you're on the mound. Because if you pitch him right, he can't hit the ball out of the ballpark. Martinez can. It's not. I want the Red Sox to sign Mookie Betts. I want them to keep him. But I'd much rather see a Triple Crown winner in a Red Sox uniform than one guy win the home run RBI race and another guy win the batting title. Eddie, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's try. Go ahead. Give it a shot.
Yeah, well, I think Jose Altuve, he's going to be coming up the rear right now. Hate saying that term. But more importantly, I wanted to give you this bit of information. Obviously, Cabrera and Altuve have won the last 7 batting titles. But in the last 13 years, you throw Joe Mauer into that. There's 3 guys accompanying 10 of the batting titles. Now, there are 2 guys that won one. One was Josh Hamilton. Can you name the other one?
Hold on. You've totally spun my head here. In the last 10 years,
all right.
Altuve...
The last 13 years, Joe Mauer won 3, Altuve 3, and Cabrera 4. Josh Hamilton won 1. Who was the other one to break up that run?
In the last 13... What year?
Yeah, last 13 years.
Okay, so I didn't even know what year you're starting in. I couldn't even get a guess. Tell me.
It'll be 2006.
I don't know. Tell me.
Maglio Ordóñez, okay. Who was an awesome hitter.
Okay, yes. No, that was a fabulous question. Thank you for asking. Am I supposed to care that Maglio Ordóñez won the batting title when you?
No.
So I don't know what the purpose of that question was. I was expecting a Red Sox player when he rattled off the question, but we didn't get that. Can I tell you what I don't care about? I'll just say this quickly as I'm looking up on TV. J.D. Martinez over at Fenway Park tonight apparently was asked about stuff that he tweeted out 5 years ago. Right, regarding
gun
control.
Rights. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so I just want to get this off my chest because I sense that some people are talking about it. I really couldn't give a rat's ass. So one thing I hate mixing is politics and sports. If you are the number 3 or 4 hitter in the Red Sox lineup, here's what I care about. You hitting. That's it. I don't care what you think about gun control or abortion or affirmative action. I don't care about your thoughts on any of those. If I did, I would just have Curt Schilling on the show.
The old hashtag stick to sports, eh?
I mean, yeah. Really? Like, do you go to your athletes for social commentary?
No. I mean, look, everyone's got an opinion. My bigger beef with it is that this is another thing that stems from those people out there that just want to dig through people's social media accounts to find something to get them on.
Okay, so
those are the worst kind of people.
And this is part 2, Murray, which is another thing. It was 5 years ago. It was 5 years ago. And you're seeing this now. It happened to Michael Kopech. Happens to all these guys. Like, and I'm not defending anything that they've tweeted. But at what point do you outrun Twitter? Really, at what point? Like, it's really gotten stupid.
Yeah.
So-and-so tweeted something from 11 years ago. Oh, well, how old is he now? 23.
Yeah, it's this gotcha society where losers want to feel empowered for 3 minutes because, oh, I found something. Oh, now they're going to lose their job or get in trouble. Bah-ha-ha-ha. Oh, it's the worst.
And Twitter, really, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Twitter is the cesspool of all cesspools. It is the worst kind of thing. The worst kind of, it just drives me bananas. I had a vent about that. Trivia Tuesday is coming up next. 617-931-BILLY. We're going with the contest line tonight, right? 617-931-0985. Why are you chuckling, Murray?
It took you a minute. You didn't remember that one.
Well, because the studio line 779, right?
Yeah.
I get them mixed up sometimes. 617-931-0985. First five callers, you answer three questions correctly, you will get a Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill gift card for $100, and you will be entered into the drawing to see the Red Sox play in New York, and the drawing, by the way, is next week. You will be entered into the drawing to see the Red Sox play in New York. Two game tickets, two train tickets, round trip, plus a night's hotel stay. It's a pretty good get. Okay, Trivia Tuesday is next.